The following episode is rated E for explicit and contains language that may not be suitable for everyone. Discretion is advised.
Oh, and spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers. So many spoilers. Don't say we didn't warn you. Spoilers, 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 spoilers. Spoilers.
Hold on to your butts.
Let's get ready to
ramble.
Welcome to episode 10 of The Rambling Geek. We are your friendly neighborhood podcast hosts, Brian and Mike. And with us this week, as promised last week without telling him first, our Harry Osborn, Justin.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Good, thank you. I thought I was going to be the one to turn evil, but apparently now it's Justin. Welcome.
Oh, I've always been evil, so.
Wow. How do you do it? Send me notes.
Mainly just grumpy all the time.
Oh, yeah, halfway there.
Yeah. All right, good. Okay, so lots of stuff we can talk about this week, except for Godzilla vs. Kong, because it dropped today and I haven't had time to watch it, and I'll assume that you guys haven't watched it yet.
Nope.
Right, so we will know what Mike's doing after this podcast. Not editing. He's watching A Monkey versus a Lizard, and it's going to be fantastic. I really hope it's fantastic. By the time people listen to this, they'll be like, oh, poor guy, if it sucked. But hey, going in positive, like I did with the Snyder Cut, which we'll talk about later, that would have been a nice natural segue. Right, so there's a lot of news stories, so I thought maybe we could run through a few of them if you guys want to, and then we can go on to the other stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Cool, so let's start with the big breaking news that came out on the day we're recording this. We all liked, I'm sure, I know Brian did, I'm assuming on Justin's behalf, we all liked Knives Out.
Mm, yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
loved it. Good.
Well, that oft-rumored sequel apparently now is going to be two sequels, and they're going to be exclusive to a streaming service called Netflix.
Oh.
Who paid $450 million for the pleasure.
Wow.
Wow.
That is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. So, yeah, they're coming to Netflix. The first sequel, so Knives Out 2, or whatever it's going to be called, is going to start filming later this year because Netflix don't muck around with that kind of money, and casting is imminent. Obviously, Daniel Craig will be returning because the sequels will focus on his character, the amazing Benoit Blanc. So, thoughts?
I'm still bugging at the amount of cash.
Yeah, right. Netflix is going to
crash. I'm sure Daniel Craig appreciates it instead of Bond, so he doesn't have to be ripped all the time.
Yeah, I guess there's that too. Yeah. How much working out's required for this one? Not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so positive news. I think we can all agree on that one. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, any other, you say casting imminent, but director and such and all of that kind of thing, or is it a given?
I'm pretty sure Rian Johnson's coming back.
I would assume, yeah.
But, yeah, so nice. I'm pretty sure he's going to be the writer and director. It's his baby, and he seems to do better with his own things than he does with other people's. But we won't go into that because people are going to hate me enough by the end of this podcast as it is. Ah, that Star Wars.
Don't
sucks.
Build the people's hopes up.
Yeah.
You just couldn't let it go, could you?
Man, it was so bad. Oh, anyway.
Really? I hadn't noticed.
I did like that end scene with Luke Skywalker, who wasn't actually Luke Skywalker. Anyway, different podcast. Cool. All right. Some other movie news, which I'm sure I can call a meh on from Brian. But Amazon announced they're going to start development on Ace Ventura 3, which is a extremely long time coming, and I don't think anyone actually expected it, from the writers of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which was surprisingly fun and had Jim Carrey in that as Dr. Robotnik in a very fun turn, going back to sort of old school Jim Carrey. So they haven't announced Jim Carrey's return, but Amazon's paying for this, so I'm going to expect that will be the case. Am I right in that getting a meh?
I'm sorry, I left my body for a moment. What were you talking about?
Okay. Oh, man. Justin, are you a fan of the Ace Ventura movies?
No.
No? I'm the only one. I really like those movies.
It's weird because I was not a fan of early Jim Carrey work, but Yeah. To each their own. If you love them, great.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you what to like or not like, except for Star Wars. except for that specific Star Wars, not all of the Star Wars. Anyway, I don't know. I remember going and seeing the first Ace Ventura, not knowing who Jim Carrey was, because over here we don't have Saturday Night Live. And that was my first exposure. And as a young lad, I just loved it so much. And I even liked the sequel, which is nowhere near as good, but still pretty fun. So I'm pretty happy with the news of a number 3. See where it goes. Anyway, we can move on.
Well, I was just thinking, like, the director had to make a pretty good impression on Jim Carrey to basically to kind of get the third one going.
Yeah, I think he had a good relationship with the writers of Sonic, and so signing them probably helped sweeten the deal. He might have even had something to do with it, don't know. But, yeah, as I said, Sonic was surprisingly fun, so I'm pretty psyched to see what they come up with. I'm not saying it's going to be amazing. It might suck, but I'm pretty happy that it's, you know, becoming a thing, maybe.
Well, they're resurrecting everything else, so why not?
Yeah, that's right. And these streaming services are going to pay the money because they need the hooks.
Well, yeah.
Whether Ace Ventura is a hook this far past the other two movies, I don't know. But I don't know. We'll see. Jim Carrey back to his old form. Maybe what people want. Not you people. You two here. But I don't know. Yeah, I like it.
I'm pretty sure we don't get a vote, though, so, and that's okay.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. We're not going to swing Amazon.
He's going to be great, I promise.
There you go. I like it. All right, cool. Big news out of Marvel, something we never thought was actually going to happen. Black Widow has a release date.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on Disney Plus if you're willing to pay the extra $30 for premiere access.
Yes.
Well, it's either that or go to a cinema and pay half that.
Yeah. Well, there's no if, mate. Yeah. Yeah. One way or another, I'm watching that.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as I can.
So, July 9th, Black Widow will come to Disney Plus, Premier Access, and to cinemas. So, that's pretty cool. It's only a year late, but Marvel's finally just, I reckon it's Disney going, dude, you've had this movie in the can. We need some money. We need some money. It's
Disney. Yeah, definitely.
But, you know. Just get it out there. We've got other stuff to move on with.
Wonder if we'll get a new trailer because it's been that long. Wonder whether they'll run up another one.
Has been a while. They could just start playing the last trailer.
They could. They could do that.
Nobody remembers.
Mm.
I just really feel bad for all the merchandising people that, you know, like all the Dorito bags that went out and all the action figures and such that were all released, but there was nothing to go with it. So it's like, okay, these are cool, but what is this?
Yeah, that Taskmaster one's been floating around the shops for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a terrible design too. It is what it is. Anyway, it's funny, cool news.
He turned up in the game before he turned up in the movie because, you know, timing.
Yes.
I just really dislike that design they've given him, but I can understand you can't go with the comic one. Yeah. You know, that's not an easy one to adapt.
No, it's a shade impractical. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so cool as. We'll just see how it goes. I'm sure Marvel knows what they're doing, so we'll have some faith. Anyway, that release date, July 9th, means that other Marvel movies are pushed back because July 9th, I believe, was the original release date for Shang-Chi. The updated Marvel schedule, for those listening at home and wanting to know, is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings will now come out on September the 3rd. These are US release dates, obviously, but I think these Marvel movies tend to come out either a day before or a day after everywhere else in the world anyway. Yeah. Externals is coming out November 5th.
Or Eternals, depending on how you want to say it.
What did I say? Externals?
Yeah.
I wrote Externals. Autocorrect. Oh, my gosh. It's
Couldn't let it go.
Edit.
Well, they are kind of out there by themselves. Yeah. So.
Okay, I'm going to edit that. So, start again. Shang-Chi. Oh, damn it. Hang on a minute. I should just leave this all in, do an unedited podcast. If you're listening to this and you're hearing all this, it means I didn't edit it. Oh, all right.
Too busy watching Godzilla vs. Kong.
That's on my other screen. All right, so hang on. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, September 3rd is the new release date. Eternals, November 5th. And just shy of a month afterwards, because, you know, whatever, that's apparently enough time to get the word out and get all your cash. Spider-Man No Way Home debuts on December the 17th, which in New Zealand time would be December the 18th, which is my birthday. So hopefully they don't screw me like they did with Wonder Woman 84, although in retrospect, is anyone saying I got screwed?
Well, you did. Long and loud.
That's my hill to die on. I like it.
Another one? How much real estate do you own?
Yeah, I know. No. I like Wonder Woman 84. But I'm super psyched for Spider-Man No Way Home. And I hope they keep that date because that'd be a nice birthday present. Anyway, cool. Which ones are you most excited for, guys? All of them?
Probably Spider-Man, then Shang-Chi, then the Eternals.
Eternals, yep. Oh, dear. All right, yes. Yeah. I'd say that too.
Yeah. Pretty much the same, I guess, yeah. Yeah. We're still focused on Black Widow for a bit there. But, yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Black Widow. And then, I mean, Spider-Man, you could put out at any time. That thing doesn't even need advertising. Everybody's going to go anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, especially knowing required. It's the last Marvel one, the last MCU one, and the fact that it's got, or seemingly got, every single person in the world in it. Yeah. So
everybody, but us three, really, I think.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my invite. Yeah,
I know, hey.
That's an easy 4-hour rival to the Snyder Cut there if they wanted to. Jeez. And I would happily sit through 4 hours of Spider-Man.
I wonder if anybody's sitting there at Marvel Studios going, you know, we've got 4-hour cuts of every movie we've made.
Can you
imagine it?
Oh, I'd watch them. Anyway.
Well, yeah. I'd let that eat my life.
I'm pretty psyched for Shang-Chi because I want to see the Mandarin. Even though I've said publicly on this podcast I liked the Mandarin twist in Iron Man 3.
Likewise.
I still want to see the real Mandarin.
Yeah. I was a fan of the comics way back, way, way back. Really keen to see what they do with it. You know, how you do it now. Even the Eternals.
Yeah, I feel like the Eternals needs more marketing because I'm just not, I don't know. Like, I'm really clueless.
It is a weird one, even depending on whether you go Jack's version or whether you go with Neil Gaiman's version, it's still weird. So
I feel like that's kind of why they kind of went with a lot of big names too.
Yeah, totally.
Is because people don't really know the internals. So it's like, but you know these people.
Yeah, so a little bit of goodwill up front there and just trust us kind of thing. Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I'm not an Angelina Jolie fan, so that put me off a little bit, but I'm a fan of pretty much everyone else. I mean, I'm going to watch it. It's a Marvel movie. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm just the least psyched about it, or the least hyped about it, maybe is better. Just need a trailer, man.
Yeah.
That is also true.
Although, we haven't had a Shang-Chi trailer, right? And that's the next one off the block after Black Widow. So, hanging out for that. I assume we'll get a trailer around the same time as Black Widow drops, because you've got to start hyping up the next
thing.
You've
got to wind it up, don't you? Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Cool. All right. So, that was good. That was really positive news. Now, sticking with comic casting and movie news, I already know Brian's take on this, but I want to hear Justin's as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce Brosnan has been cast as Dr. Fate in Dwayne Johnson's Black Adam movie.
I am so excited for this.
Okay, Brian.
I cannot wait.
Not to cut Justin off, but how do you feel about
it? Park your glee there, Mike. Yeah, I'm not against it. I don't understand it. I'm not quite sure that I see it. Yeah, I don't picture him as a Dr. Fate in my head. Great voice. If they're doing it, it's like the voice of Naboo. I think I said this to you before, Mike. You know, sort of the disembodied spirit type thing. I get that. Yeah, I don't understand how it's going to work, and so I can't picture it. So it just strikes me as an odd one, is what I'm saying.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. I'm not deeply steeped in the lore of Dr. Fate. Mm. I think he's a cool character design that I would never attempt to draw because, come on, have you seen it? however, because I don't know a lot, is he always in the helmet or does he take it off? I mean, I've seen TV incarnations and stuff, but...
Yeah, he takes it off. It's been done various ways over time.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes sort of Naboo, who was the Lord of Order, you know, who gives him the power, sometimes he's in the helmet. He's like a kind of a spirit in there with him, if you like. And then sometimes he's been human. And it just lots of different takes that have been done over time. But yeah, sometimes he's Kent Nelson, or at least he used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, and sometimes he's Fate.
Because I figured if he always had the helmet on, it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, in terms of who you cast, as long as they've got the voice you want, I guess. But even then, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Is it his age, or
I'm quite a fan of Pierce Brosnan, I have to say. Yeah, I think he's really good. It just seems a weird one, and for some reason, my mind can't wrap my brain around the idea of it. Maybe I'll see it in a trailer and go, well, yeah, of course. And then great.
I think it was just a surprise that they announced him to be in the movie. I hadn't heard that he was going to be in the movie anyway.
Neither. No.
Yeah, well, if you would ask me, like, if you have, like, a multiple choice question or something like that, like, who's going to be in a superhero movie, I would never circle Pierce Brosnan. And so like, just hearing that, though, I love Pierce Brosnan. And it's something kind of weird because I used to listen to the James Bonding podcast, and they would talk about how Pierce Brosnan would always kind of overact when he got hit, or basically his little action scenes, he'd kind of overreact a little bit. And it was thinking, like, that could actually play well in this point. Even though he's going to be in the helmet, he might be able to look like he's pulling off spells or, you know, making an effect.
Yeah, you're going to get a little bit larger than life kind of thing, and maybe a little excess is probably not a bad thing in that respect. Yeah, yeah. See what you're saying.
It's funny that you said he'd be the last person you'd think would be in a superhero movie, but then you'd think, like, well, I never would have thought Robert Redford would turn up in a superhero movie, or Annette Bening. Trying to add to your point, not take away from your point. There's been a lot of really left field casting that have turned out really great.
Mm.
So on the Marvel side, we'll see if
DC they've kind of created credibility though, haven't they? They've opened the door a little bit, but by them being, it's become a much more accepted genre of movies, and it's not, heaven help us, Batman and Robin. You know, it's really swung around into legitimacy. It's probably the wrong word for it, but you know what I mean?
I want to just do a quick ramble because what we're here for. So, because you mentioned Batman and Robin, I have seen a little bit of a swell on Twitter recently of people defending Batman Forever.
Well, it's not the worst of them, but...
It's not the worst of them, but it's interesting. So I need to go and rewatch that, I think. Again, Jim Carrey, so I don't mind, but...
Oh, that was a rough one.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Val Kilmer as Batman.
For me, Val Kilmer was fine, but it's like Joker... I mean, Riddler and Two-Face were both Joker. It's like they weren't really the characters they're supposed to be.
Yeah, Two-Face especially.
And they'd set us up for Billy Dee Williams, and then they didn't. And it was just... That's a really good way to put it, though. They're both Joker. You're not wrong.
Yeah. But it's just interesting. I found that there was suddenly all these defenders of the movie. And I'm pretty sure, and I could be wrong, but somebody tried to say that Batman Forever is better than Batman Begins. And should have unfollowed that person. Sorry if you listen to this podcast. But man.
Oh, man. Now I've left my body. Holy moly.
Yeah. Oh, man. Batman Forever and Batman and Robin are like... If you were trying to make a big budget version, or an attempt at a dark and gritty big budget version of Batman 66.
Yes.
And if you watch them like that, they're probably really good. But nobody watched them like that.
No. Remember, Mike, when we did Batman and Batman 89, and then we did Batman Returns for the Heritage Film Club, I watched them backwards, not backwards, but in reverse order.
That's right.
I thought I'd, for whatever reason, I can't even remember why I did it now, I watched Batman and Robin, then Batman Forever, then Returns, and then Batman. Knowing that they got progressively better, or at least I thought so.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's like, well, I'm just going to get the really painful one out of the way, and then the slightly less painful one out of the way. And then I sort of reversed my order because I like Batman Returns better than Batman in the end. Yeah, so it's not something I would recommend doing. But, you know, we all have our sacrifices we make. I mean, Mike, you did Snyder Cut so that people like me didn't have to. But we'll find out what you...
Yeah, normal Justice League too.
Exactly, you know. You take many a hit. That was my minor one.
No, that was a big one. You had to invest. You had to go through two movies to get to the Burdens.
Yeah, so, yeah. Tell you what, it felt really long too.
Yeah. All right, good ramble. So another bit of casting, going back to the news. Russell Crowe, spoiler. I'm going to, spoiler alert, because some people might not want to know. If you don't want to know about Thor, Love and Thunder, I've already spoiled it. But Russell Crowe has been confirmed to have a cameo in the movie. Don't know who it is, though, so not totally spoiled. But, Jor-El, still a better dad to Superman and Man of Steel than that poor excuse of a, we've been over this, man. And I mean, Gladiator is one of my favorite movies, but other than that, actually, I watched Unhinged with Russell Crowe recently. Damn. I assume Brian hasn't seen it, but have you, Justin?
Which one? Unhinged?
Unhinged.
Yeah. I don't think I have.
Whew, that's a good Russell Crowe right there. That's a bad as in bad guy, not bad performance. He's an evil Russell Crowe. It's really cool. Well, it's a road rage movie.
Oh.
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah. So anyway, he has been seen around town and been snapped by a paparazzi. So sort of the cat was out of the bag. So they officially announced Russell Crowe has a cameo in Taika Waititi's upcoming Thor Love and Thunder.
Maybe he's going to be Beta Ray Bill.
Well, that's what a lot of people thought on Twitter. They thought he could voice Beta Ray Bill because they've teased that character already in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So you could bring him in and he could be the voice, and I don't mind that.
Frog Thor.
I feel like that'd be more than a cameo.
We will.
Because there's another person that was announced as a cameo, but again, I don't want to be the dick who goes and ruins everything for everyone, so I'll leave that one alone. But anyway, Russell Crowe will be joining, obviously, Chris Hemsworth, obviously Natalie Portman, Christian Bale, and a returning Matt Damon, which sounds weird to say because he was only in it for about 5 seconds, but that's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just glad Natalie Portman's back.
Me too.
I really like Natalie Portman.
I like Jane Foster. Good character.
Yes, and I love what they did with her in the comics, and I'm super psyched to see what they do in the movie with her as, assumingly, well, no, it's been confirmed as the female Thor. I was trying really hard not to say Lady Thor.
And there you go.
And so, you did.
And then I did afterward. Man, I'm so not even going to bother editing this.
Could you not,
I'm
please? Because I just really want to listen to this back, all of it.
If there's some awkward long pauses, it's because I didn't edit it. So anyway, one more piece of news. I'm pretty psyched because I'm a fan of the character. And it's interesting that they've announced this already, because the Hawkeye TV series, which is going to debut later this year, has already got a spin-off. So we have not even seen a trailer yet.
So that was Hawkeye. Quick.
That was quick. So Echo, the character who will be appearing in Hawkeye, is getting her own series. I'm a fan of the character from the comics. She was introduced in Daredevil number 9 from the Marvel Knights run, which was not long after Kevin Smith finished his arc and Joe Quesada stayed on, and David Mack came on board as the writer, and they created Echo, who's a deaf Native American character who can impersonate or echo, see what they did there, someone's abilities. So that'll be pretty cool. Interesting that she's in Hawkeye, but I'm psyched to see a live-action version. And she must be good because Marvel and Disney have given her own show. So that's pretty cool. She's also the character that originated the Ronin identity.
Right. Right.
Before handing it over to a Mr. Clint Barton, who we saw as Ronin in Avengers Endgame. She'll be played by, and I'm probably going to butcher the name, Alequa Cox, who is starring as the character in Hawkeye, obviously. I'm super psyched for Hawkeye anyway because I want to see Kate Bishop and I want to see Lucky the Pizza Dog. And man, we're getting a whole Black Widow movie, so it's good that the other underused Avenger is also going to get a spotlight in the form of a TV show. Speaking of Marvel TV shows, have you guys watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yes.
I got through half the first episode. Just life is just taking me away from that, but I'm planning on watching them.
All right, well, we won't be talking about that on the podcast.
You can go and talk, it's fine.
We can talk about the first half of the first episode, and that's fine.
I will say I enjoyed episode 2 a lot more, but I did really enjoy episode 1. And we won't talk about the stuff that happens.
I liked it. I like where it's going. It's interesting.
Yes.
It wasn't the baffling first 2 episodes that we got in WandaVision, much as I loved that. Still baffling, but it kind of drops you right in, and I'm really liking it so far.
As we said, and looks like we weren't far off the mark, it is more of a straightforward MCU type of story. Unlike WandaVision, which took its time and did some cool things, and we loved it. We've talked about it on the podcast. We absolutely adore that show.
It was great.
It's nice to get back to a one that you don't have to sort of sit there guessing about. You can just sit there and watch and enjoy.
True. And always with the potential for there to be a twist or just some totally left field.
Oh, there already was. You know. I mean, that the way, again, I'm not going to say what happens, but the way episode 1 ends and also the way episode 2 ends, I specifically enjoyed. So, they've put money into this one as well, man, just like WandaVision.
Yeah, have they what?
That the whole opening, so we can talk about this part, the whole opening of episode 1 is like a Marvel movie.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Yeah.
The Falcon aerial battle with, man, a returning George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
The Leaper. That was, man, that was cool. I'm so glad they brought him back because he just, got away in Winter Soldier, right? So it was cool to bring him back and actually use the villain you've had before. So, I was pretty psyched about that. Completely forgot.
Not when you had to kind of signpost either. They didn't have to do some big, some big thing in the dialogue or whatever just to point it out, like a big sign.
No, not at all. It's just there. It's just great. I'm the dude.
It's really good. Yeah.
yeah, he pops up in the plane that Falcon's chasing, and you're like, huh, that's pretty cool. And also, spoilers, if you haven't watched Falcon and Winter Soldier, sorry. Oh, man. Fire up. I'm going to have to put like a pre-recorded spoiler thing at the start of this episode. I'm so bad at this. All right. So anyway, cool. Well, before we get into other stuff, let's take a quick break to hear a quick message from our friends over at the Geek Peak podcast. And after that, we'll be back with more.
Hey there. I'm Chris from the Geek Peak podcast here with my two co-hosts, Trent.
What up?
And Brandon.
Yo, yo.
Here at the Geek Peak, we strive to provide you the best content from all across the pop culture multiverse.
Think of us as your content concierge, seeking out all the best movies, TV, games, and music to save your valuable time.
We have a different adult beverage every week, and we like to keep things light and fresh, so come hang out with us.
So check us out on all your favorite podcasting platforms. That's Geek Peak.
Like a mountain!
And check out our site at geekpeakpod.com.
All right, so go check out Geek Peak Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And Brian, I wanted to check in with you because last week you got a massive comic haul of, what, the entire run of Checkmate?
Almost the entire run of Checkmate.
Mm-hmm.
Just missing a couple, waiting for them to come in.
End ones? Can you still read
middle
through?
Ones. Middle ones, it's like 23 and 24, so I got a good chunk to get through before they turn up. And I did manage to get through. I got through the first 10. It makes it sound like it was a slog. It wasn't. It was great. Buried knee deep in late 80s espionage type comic. Yeah, it was really cool. It was as good as I remembered it for the ones that I had read. And then now I'm diving into ones that I hadn't read. And yeah, it's as dense as hell. Lots of action going on. I did a very geeky thing, and you actually called me on it because I counted up the number of panels in a couple of issues and told you what they were. And then after I'd read some more, I did it again. So we're still looking at something like anywhere from upwards of 160 to around 180 panels per comic. And that includes a splash in most issues, but not every issue. You know, so not all of them have a splash page, whereas I got used to reading, by the time I stepped out of comics, like one or two splashes or a double splash in there, and I thought, you're just using up space now. Yeah. And this was just like density and action, and the letterers must have had RSI from putting all those letters in because they're dialogue heavy and there's all sorts of stuff going on, but it flows, and it's really cool, and I'm just enjoying the hell out of it, frankly.
Yeah, you showed me a couple of pages to illustrate your point.
Yeah.
We're quite aware that older comics, those aren't even that old, but comics even older than that have always been more packed. You get more bang for your buck. There's more panels, more art, much more dialogue.
Yep.
As opposed to, can I blame Image? I don't know. Did it start there? Not Image now. Mm. I mean, original five, the Jim Lee era. A lot more splash pages because it was more about the flashy art than the story.
Yeah, a little more style over substance, which is probably an oversimplification.
Yeah.
You know, it became a little bit more about the flashy pose, whereas, yeah, from the pages that I sent you was a couple of double-page runs of just fights, and even the way they're choreographed, I was really enjoyed just looking at the flow of the action. It's the kind of thing that now a lot of the time you would do in one panel, and you would just have the character sort of in motion within the panel, you know, all in one go, and it was genuinely sequential. And yeah, I thought it was really well written. It's quite interesting. It's interesting to read it from this far along as well, because some of the topics that they cover, they were very late 80s topics, different type of domestic terrorism and arms dealing and all of that kind of thing. You know, and they're supposed to be a stealth organization, and the knights, who are the main sort of foot soldiers out there, are in really quite bright costumes, occasionally hiding in trees and things, which makes it sound really stupid. But it's a weird way to do a stealth organization. But it was around the time that they were introducing Amanda Waller as well, from obviously Suicide Squad and all of that. And so they managed to dovetail all of these things together and do lots of crossover with other parts of the DC universe. And it was just kind of the vibe of the time, I think, was that kind of story that was being told. And so it would spawn things like Suicide Squad. And like I say, at the same time, you get lots of action. Really great writing by Paul Kupperberg. Terrific Steve Irwin art. Yeah, I definitely got my money's worth and then some. So if anybody wants to check it out, then by all means, I'd really recommend it. If you can find them at back issue stockists and stuff, then go get them.
Or if you're on digital, if you're one of those
people. Oh, yeah,
people.
I'm not saying you're one of those people.
Yeah, one of those people.
I've got to turn the pages and go back and forth and then read the house ads. All these other comics from DC at that point, which I also had. And now I'm thinking, what if I can get them?
Oh, man, I bet if comic book keepers are listening, they just turned us off and unfollowed us on Twitter for even mentioning digital.
Hey, I'm still here. You can follow me.
I like a good physical copy too, but I'm just saying that for comics that are maybe a little harder to find or whatever, everything's available.
Plus, in fairness, it is a great way to sample, I guess. Yeah. Some of them I take on faith because I remember enjoying them enough, and then you hope that right to the end of the run it really held up, and so far it's holding up. And I get that it's a gamble sometimes, especially for a comic from that long ago.
So I'm not aware really of Checkmate until you brought it up. Were they after Suicide Squad?
Around the same time, there was a series that Paul Kupperberg also wrote. Marv Wolfman wrote it originally. It was called Vigilante, and the character ended up on Arrow TV series.
Well, something interesting, I was just, because I know very little of Checkmate, but it looks like Peacemaker actually has been part of the Checkmate series.
Yeah, sort of towards the end of it. He's on, I haven't dived into the issues themselves, but he's on the covers, and there's a big, seems like quite a few issues with Peacemaker in it, in the costume, with, you know, the toilet seat on his head. Yes, I watched the trailer.
If you don't know, if you're listening and you don't know who Peacemaker is, you'll very quickly know who Peacemaker is, because they're clearly making him starting with the Suicide Squad movie and then his spin-off TV
show.
There
was even around the same time, there was a four-issue Peacemaker miniseries, which I don't have. But I've been checking out the availability of that, and that hasn't really taken off yet, so those of you who follow such things, it's probably a good idea. Go take a look.
And that's Brian's hot tip of the week.
That's my hot tip of the week. There you go. I was due. So I guess it was, Vigilante was a very extreme. He was kind of Punisher-ish. It's a fairly feeble connection. And then the people, the organization that Checkmate is built on, kind of came into that, and a character called Blackthorn, who is terrifically kick-ass. She was in the pages that I sent you, Mike, as well. And, it all just kind of, when Vigilante ended, then they kind of flowed it right into this alongside Suicide Squad at around about the same time.
Cool. I was going to ask you something, and then it just slipped to my mind. So not to put you on the spot, but Peacemaker predates Punisher, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because Peacemaker was a Charlton character.
That's right.
He was one of the characters like Blue Beetle and Captain Atom and Peter Cannon Thunderbolt that DC picked up from Charlton.
All the characters Alan Moore wanted to use and couldn't use.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Nightshade, of course. Yeah, Silk Spectre, if you like. All of that kind of thing.
All right, so you're about to see probably a very different take of Peacemaker than what he is in the comics, played by WWE however many time champion John Cena. And I'm sure our friend Clayton from Clayton's Corner will be watching it purely for that. He is a John Cena mark, whether he admits it or not. What about you, Justin? Are you a Cena fan? Were you a Cena fan, I should say?
As a wrestler, he wasn't one of my favorites, but as a person, he's up there. The time he puts in the Make-A-Wish, I will say that gives me respect to him for as much as he's done for that.
Well, he broke the record. He's granted the most wishes out of anybody in history.
Why, really?
Yeah.
For Make-A-Wish.
That's pretty cool.
He was very popular with the kiddies. Yeah, I don't know. I liked him back. This is just going to sound like cliche and all that, but I liked him as the Doctor of Thugonomics back when he broke out from being the prototype and took on the rap identity and came down with the big chains and padlocks and the throwback.
I got to look this up.
Jerseys and stuff. Oh, man, it's amazing.
Oh, it's special.
You just got a YouTube Doctor of Thugonomics and just watch all of his freestyle raps that he did.
Oh, painful.
I can sit there and watch them for hours. I know they're bad, but it is so entertaining. And my wife was a Cena fan for obvious reasons. I mean, dude, look at him. But I introduced her to the Doctor of Thugonomics, and she had a whole different love for him after that.
I'm sensing a pattern here, Mike, because we've already established that your wife is a Henry Cavill fan.
Oh, geez,
and as you said, why is that again? And now Cena. And then, of course, there's you.
I know. That sounded rude, but I get your point.
And then there's I'm just
saying that, people can only hear you, Mike. You can just say, look, the pattern continues.
No, because on episode 2, which is my favorite episode, where we talked about being hashtag Conbod ready.
Conbod ready. Damn it.
We made it very clear that I'm the stereotypical fat geek and
your words, not mine. And I was apparently words. Quagmire, which was fair enough.
That's right. I'll put the sound effect in this time.
Could you?
Okay, so anyway, back to Checkmate. It's a big thumbs up from Brian by the sound of it.
Big thumbs up from me. Yeah, which now, unfortunately, because, you know, collector brain, I'm sitting thinking, what else was out around this time that I remember or never quite got to? Because, you know, I was much younger then. I had 18-year-old me cash is what I had. So you couldn't get everything. Now I'm doing a little bit of exploring of history. Liking it.
That's good. All right. So that concludes our comic portion of the show.
No, I feel like I contributed. It's great.
Oh, you totally contributed. And you know, inquiring minds on our Twitter and wanted to know. And now they know.
Appreciated the follow-up question. Thanks,
guys. That was really cool. So speaking of Checkmate and a seemingly similar team, the Suicide Squad, dropped their first trailer finally, Red Band trailer.
Mm.
And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts, especially Brian, because I'm pretty sure me and, again, I don't want to be the smug dude, because that's not what I'm doing. I'm just, I know what you like and dislike. Well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to be on point.
I'm pretty sure Justin's got a similar outlook as I do. But, Brian, did you hate it?
Back to the pinata, go on.
That's a leading question there.
Could you find any good in it? Maybe I should say it like that.
Did I hate it? No, I didn't hate it. I watched it. And I kind of had an expression on my face, I suspect, like my sister's dog gets when you kind of talk to him. I just kind of cocked my head and went, huh?
Yeah, okay.
Whoever it's for, it's not for me. I kind of get where they're going with it. And it look, fully looks like a continuation of last time around and what they've been doing with Harley Quinn and all of that. Seemed very Peacemaker heavy and lots of Idris Elba, which is never a bad thing.
Never.
Yeah, but I was just kind of... Okay, that looks like a movie, and then I couldn't find a hook for me. It's going to sound terrible, but I'm sitting thinking, I don't think I was ever at a point where this would have hooked me, and I'd have gone, "Yeah, I'll be watching that at any stage of my geek life," and that's cool.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I think it's cool.
Everything is not for everyone.
This is true.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, and I can see people loving that. Absolutely, there'd be a whole massive fan base looking at that, going, "Yeah, this is going to be awesome," cool.
There'll be the people who were disappointed with the first one. Not me, because I like the first one still. Yeah. Problems that it has, I still enjoy that movie. Mm-hmm. But there'll be those people who didn't like it going, this is something completely different, because this is supposed to be kind of a soft reboot rather than a direct sequel.
Okay, all right.
And they've only brought over a few characters, I think four. They've brought over Waller and Flag, Harley, obviously, because you're not going to do it without Harley.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, Captain Boomerang.
Oh, he was my favorite from the first. So,
well, he got to use his Aussie accent, which was pretty cool.
He did.
I guess. I mean, if you like that sort of thing. But I'm just not a fan of Jai Courtney. So, yeah, whatever. He was fun enough. But it looks like in this movie, not based on the trailer necessarily, but from the taglines, more than just Slipknot is going to die in this movie. I feel like a lot of the team is going to get whittled down.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a fair few. I'm looking at that going, maybe not as much money went into those costume designs. Perhaps they're not meant to be on screen for too long. I don't think it's... I'm being frivolous, but...
Yeah, I think it's more James Gunn going, you know, he's obviously a fan of C-list characters. I mean, look at what he did with Guardians.
Well, yeah.
But in this one, he's sort of gone, I'm just going to present them as they are in terms of looks. So Peacemaker looks like Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Polka Dot Man, amazing. And can I say one of my favorite scenes, and I think
that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, it even made my wife laugh, is the scene where just after they're like, Waller says, raise your hands or something, and King Shark puts up his hand and goes, hand, which is amazing. But then Idris Elba's like, we're all going to die. And Polka Dot Man turns around and goes, I hope so. My wife lost her shit. I was like, oh, this is so good. She doesn't like stuff that's overly graphic in terms of violence, which this is clearly going to be. King Shark rips a dude in half.
Yeah, you ate him. I mean, come on.
And he ate another guy. Yeah, but she would be in for John Cena. So I'm interested because... I'm clearly not going to go and see it with Brian, because Brian clearly is not going to go and pay to see it.
Hey, what's the first one? I enjoyed the first one, but yeah, here we are.
So let's talk a bit about the trailer. Justin, what do you think?
It looks entertaining to me. The first one was okay to me. It was a bit of a mess, but it was fun. But I'm just really curious, like, how many of these characters are actually going to, like, how much of a role they actually have in the film? Or, like, are they just basically cannon fodder as soon as they, you know, hit the beach?
Yeah, do you think we're just going to end up with Peacemaker, Harley Quinn, and Bloodsport standing at the end? They might kill Idris Elba off. You can't just kill off all the ones that are obvious.
Mm. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I loved the trailer. I just, don't get me wrong. It's exactly what I was hoping it would be from James Gunn. It's sort of like, for better or worse, what he would have done with Guardians if Marvel wasn't so protective of what they're trying to do, if that makes sense. Mm. So this is more like a James Gunn movie by the look of it.
Yeah, the biggest shocker for me was Starro. The game, the reveal that Starro is going to be the big bad. How
cool is that?
That would just blew my mind.
Yeah. And I love when they're just like, we've got a kaiju, and then the tentacle, of, I don't know what they're called on a starfish, the thing comes down and is like, holy crap.
Yeah. It's like, wow, right back to Hello, Justice League.
Brave and the Bold.
Mm. Brave and the Bold, man, 28. Yeah. Yep. Right where it started. So that's pretty cool. I'll give you that.
So where Zack Snyder decided to go with Darkseid and Steppenwolf, the Suicide Squad did it right. Starro, man. Oh, man. Hey, because
hey, just to be fully accurate, Starro the Starfish Conqueror. Thank you very much.
Yes.
It's going to be so good. Because I feel like DC could never have found a way to bring in Starro until now, and this is the perfect movie to do it, tone-wise. So I'm very happy. And I love that they've got Weasel in it, even though he's anthropomorphic now and not a guy in a suit. And I love that he's the anti-Rocket. He is just so butt ugly. And it's such a terrible design in the best way.
It's horrible.
Yeah. It's so bad. It's so bad, but I want the toy. It is scary, man. But I love it. And the scene that shows in the trailer where he's just licking the glass. Oh, I love it.
But Mike, you're a focus group all on your own.
I know.
I don't know why they're not knocking on your door every time there's anything to release and just going, what does Mike think?
If they had shown me an uncut version of this, I would have kept everything in by the look of it. So I would not be a good focus
group. Where's my 4-hour cut of this?
This will be the gun cut. Let's just be clear. This is clearly going to be everything he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the scene I wanted to talk about, because I was watching the trailer and I was thinking, oh, Brian is not going to be a happy man. But it's not going to be for him, as you said. That's a good way to say it.
I love being me. Go on then. What do you got?
The scene where John Cena said, I'd eat as many dicks as I had to in the name of liberty, or whatever it was. I was like, oh no.
And I've decided that you should eat a big bag of dicks.
If this whole beach was completely covered in dicks, and somebody said I'd eat every dick until the beach was clean for liberty, I would say no problemo.
Why would someone put penises all over the beach?
Who knows why madmen do what they do?
I was like, they probably just took the one character Brian might have been invested in and... Yeah. And seen at him.
But he's going to do it in the name of liberty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Much respect for that. That's.
Oh my gosh, I cracked up so hard because it was just so funny.
He delivered that line so well.
And this is one thing I want to say about Cena, right? I'm not a big fan. I wasn't even a big fan of his promos in the PG Cena era where he always said Jack and called everyone Jack. And it's like, dude. But one thing I'll give him is he did his little WWE movies. You know, I like a couple of them, not the Marine so much. I like 12 Rounds.
12 Rounds. That's the one I was trying to remember that I'd seen. Thank you for that.
12 Rounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, because hasn't it got the chick from Birds of Prey?
Yes, has Ashley Scott.
Mm.
Yeah, who was also in Walking Tall with The Rock.
Correct. 6 Degrees of Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing. Like, John Cena seemed to not be able to break through to mainstream Hollywood like The Rock did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, because The Rock's The Rock. But one thing Cena did very cleverly was he started doing small, almost cameo roles, and they were very against type.
Right. Okay, and you're going to build, right?
Mm-hmm. His scene at the opening of Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer movie, is so funny, and it made me just immediately like him again. Then he did a scene in Tina Fey and Amy Poehler's movie Sisters. And I think the line that got me that he delivered, and it's his delivery. He's so good. He says, my safe word is keep going. And I'm, dude, it's just so funny. But out of context with no trailer, I mean, that just didn't land obviously on a podcast, but it's so good. And that's one thing he can do. He can take these lines and he can just deliver them so earnestly. And the fact that he can talk about eating dick in the name of liberty. Oh, man. I'm in. It's so funny. It's like Idris Elba's going to have the hardest job because it looks like, well, him and Flag seem to be the two straight guys and everyone else around them is going to be, you know, is going to entertain.
Yeah, all the wild cards,
Yeah. And I love this version of King Shark. It's very close to the version in the Harley Quinn animated series.
Okay, all right.
Although this was already in production prior to that show, even though the show came out, it's already had two seasons. But one thing that Harley Quinn animated series does well is reimagine the villains in amazing ways. Their King Shark is amazing, although he's not dumb like this King Shark is. He's like an IT guy. He's smart, but the design is almost spot on. Their version of Bane in that animated show, amazing. Because they made him look like Bane from the comics with the Lucha mask and everything, but he talks like the Bane from Dark Knight Rises. So I like the mix. Take the best of both worlds. So it's pretty cool. So anyway, I'm all in for Suicide Squad. You guys, I don't know, maybe not as in?
No, I'm in. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It looks fun.
You tell me what you thought of it, and I'll tell you what I thought of the comic I was reading while you were watching it. So
okay. Okay, but hang on, though. When it comes to streaming, will you watch it then or still not?
Probably not. No.
Oh, okay. This is sort of my movie where I'm like, hey, DC might have figured out what they're trying to do now and not be Marvel and not, you know, not be so dark.
Yeah, if they found their groove, if they want to run with that and it works, then good on them. I mean, there was that the Harley Quinn movie was kind of the same sort of thing, though, wasn't it?
Oh, I didn't like Birds of Prey. And I'm sorry, Watching Comics Pod, who ranked it number 2 in their rankings of the DCEU movies, but that's when I yelled at my radio. I was like, what? But, oh, man, maybe I need to rewatch Birds of Prey. Harley is, I love what Margot Robbie does. That version of Harley is great, and I love it. And she's obviously she's got a lot of screen time in Birds of Prey because it's essentially her movie. I just think the rest of the movie was poor. I didn't like the casting for a lot of it, and I didn't like the story particularly. But Harley was the shining light of that movie, as she was for me in the Suicide Squad movie, her and Will Smith. But I don't know, I'm down. I'll watch more of her as Harley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool beans. All right. So, anything else?
No.
Okay. That was the end of the show.
I was going to say, though, no, nothing else on that. I think we've done that. You even got my meh in. I didn't even get to meh.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you think of the Suicide Squad?
Don't step all over my meh. It's too late. Oh. That train has sailed.
Wait, we've got more stuff to talk about. Snyder Cut's coming.
I know. But I'm thinking, because, you know, like you said, natural segues. We, in our arrogance, have cast a movie.
We have.
We've cast a movie, and I thought, let's see if, you know, money where our mouth is and see if we're any better, or we can get people maybe yelling at us.
Well.
They need to tell us, though. If you're yelling at us, please say so.
Yeah, spinning out of episode 9, which was the last episode, if you're not keeping count, we briefly discussed the fact that there isn't enough Fly movie. Then we thought we'd throw it onto the Twitter to fan cast it. And then we saw some of your picks and we thought we better do it. No, I'm joking. Some of those picks were really good. By the way, man, I'm giving so many shout outs on this episode, but Punch the Timeline coming to the party with the majority of the picks. So I'm just going to go and find the tweets while you guys talk about it. But have you guys done your casting for an Alpha Fly movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So while I'm looking up our followers casting, do you want to run through your lists? So we didn't actually agree on what team we would cast, what team members we would cast. But I think Brian and I have cast, we don't know who each other's cast, by the way, but I know what characters you've cast. Justin, I'm not sure how wide you went, because obviously there's a lot of iterations of the team. So do you want to go first?
Sure.
Lead us off.
You already know this one because I sent this one to Mike, but I'm going to start with Puck, and I'm going to stand boldly by it. I am casting Jack Black as Puck.
Oh. Yeah, you did send me that. Okay, that's a thing. Yep.
All right. So let's get that out of the way.
I'd watched this movie already. I'm done.
Honestly, at first I was going to do Peter Dinklage, but yeah, it just didn't seem like you. Yeah, it didn't really feel like he. That's the best character for him.
Yeah,
true. And Puck is kind of a weird character, like his power abilities. I'm like, if anybody could pull it off, it would be Jack Black. I have Snowbird, played by Catherine Winnick.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, I like that.
That was actually from my friend Scott. He helped me, kind of did the thing with me as well. I think she would do well as Snowbird. For North Star, I have Luke McFarlane. He was, I believe, I can't remember. He's the only reason I really know him is actually from Hallmark movies.
Clayton will know him then. Clayton's a huge Hallmark fan.
He is.
My wife loves all the Christmas ones, and I've tried to do some Canadian and some, like, especially for North Star, he is a gay character, so I tried to find a gay actor for this one. And I've always actually liked him on the Hallmark movies. He's very charismatic, so I thought he would do well at this role. Mm-hmm. For Aurora, I have Kristen Kruick.
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Sasquatch, this is actually, I found online, I agree with it, Kevin Durand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know he was the Blob. I think he was the Blob one of the X-Men movies, but he was in, I believe, Standing Tall with The Rock, if we want to do that round again.
I am number four. Great movie with Russell Crowe called Mystery Alaska. If you've never seen that, go check that out.
Ah, yes. Yeah. I need to rewatch that one.
Anyway.
At Guardian, I have Ryan Gosling.
I almost had him on the list for a character, but I wasn't sure which one, so I didn't cast him in the end.
I have Vindicator, played by Megan Ory. She was in the Once Upon a Time show for a while. And then Shaman, I have Martin Sensmeyer. He was on the Magnificent Seven.
Ah, cool, yep.
But I have one more that I kind of came up with Scott. A retired Captain Canuck. And he would be played by William Shatner.
Brilliant. Nice. The Canadianist of Canada.
And basically, we were thinking he would be like the same time as like Captain America and all this stuff, but he was never as popular as Captain America, except for in Canada. And he never kind of lived that down.
Nice. That's brilliant. I like that.
That's my casting.
Very good. Okay, Brian, do you want to go?
Alrighty, I kind of took up the how Canadian can we make it challenge, because you and I talked about that a little bit.
Most of mine is Canadian
people did I find? I wasn't 100% successful.
Actually, can I interject one last time?
Yeah, go. Sure.
I was trying to do that as well for something, but like I didn't know a ton of Canadian actors. Like my movie history is not the best, but I was looking at the females. I'm like, Marvel Harry has a lot of Canadian actresses already on their list, so that was a little harder to do.
Yeah, Kobe Smulders. I personally tried to go with the tact of if an actor or actress already has a decent or prominent role in the MCU, I wouldn't cast them.
Right.
But, I mean, Marvel doesn't even stick with that rule necessarily. I mean, Gemma Chan's in Eternals or Externals. Whatever. And she was obviously in Captain Marvel. But again, that she wasn't a prominent role really in Captain Marvel, so it doesn't matter. So anyway, Brian.
Yeah, I tried that rule too and I failed a couple of times. But I'm gonna stand by it just because it is what it is. It's just a fan cast. So I also had Ryan Gosling initially down as Guardian, and then I changed my mind.
It's funny because that's who I was going to put him as.
So let's see. Work out some kind of order for this here. I went with, for Guardian, James Hudson, I went Stephen Amell.
Mm. Oh, so did nice.
I went with Stephen Amell. And then I cast my Heather Hudson, Vindicator, later, based upon that, because I had one of my other actors in here who I've given to another character initially as him, and I thought this is kind of his appearing. And I have Kobe Smulders in as Heather Hudson.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Maria Hill.
Yeah. So just in thinking how they would play off each other, that's what I was thinking anyway. So I had Amell in there, plus massive fan of Arrow. He's a great guy. Lucky to meet him at a con. Terrific dude. I'm going to fail again on the not recasting because I had Snowbird. Snowbird, I had Rachel McAdams.
Mm.
Yeah, see, I almost put her on my list and then I realized Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I looked and I went, you know what, I'm going anyway. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Sasquatch, I went with Taylor Kitsch, who was our old friend Gambit, Remy LeBeau, John Carter also, Friday Night Lights and all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say, John Carter is an awesome movie and all you people who think it suck, you suck.
Massively underrated. Love that movie completely. And there are people out there who think Lynn Collins should have been Wonder Woman.
I do.
Rachel Thoris. There you go.
She should have been. Anyway, I like Gal Gadot, so anyway,
whatever. Study to Gal Gadot, absolutely. And I picked Taylor Kitsch, sort of thinking of him as Walter rather than as Sasquatch, you know, as the human version of. And then I think the voice still works for what would be the CGI character of Winnie Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. For Shaman, I'm not sure how that word is pronounced, so try not to offend anybody. I had an actor named Adam Beach.
Oh, yeah, I know him.
He was Slipknot.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was in Wind Talkers. Yeah. He was in Flags of Our Fathers. He was the pivotal character of Kicking Wing and Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
He was the go-to Native American actor for a while.
True. He is also what's known, I believe, as he's from First Nation in Canada. And so I really wanted to – I took a while to find an actor who was First Nation as well. Kind of proud of that one. And that's where my Canadian – casting fails. I did have Nathan Fillion in there at
so
one point.
Did
he kind of immediately came to mind for Sasquatch, and I don't know why. And it was kind of, I don't think I mentioned to you on Messenger as well, Mike, you know, it's partly because the character is in a relationship at one point with Aurora. And so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. And I thought the age difference would be weird. So the last two that I had to cast was Aurora and North Star. With North Star, I went with Colton Haynes.
Oh yeah.
Who was Roy Harper in Arrow, mm-hmm. was also in San Andreas. And then for Aurora, I've got an actress named Kaya Scodelario. Again, I hope I got that right. And she was in the Maze Runner movies.
Oh,
the reason that I chose her, and she was in one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and I chose her because I was just looking at pictures of various actors, and there was just one a still from one movie, and I thought that looked like an Aurora look because, you know, she's got some troubles. You know, she has some challenges, and she just felt like a character or an actress, rather, who could play it. And that's kind of where I went with that.
Nice.
That's my Alpha Flight.
So what we'll do, if you guys don't mind, is send me your lists. And I'll go and find mm-hmm. photos of them all, and then I'll put them on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because obviously there'll be names that people don't know, and we'll enlighten. And then you can tell us if you agree or disagree.
Yeah. And I'm really, really glad that I didn't cast Puck, because I whatever I'd picked would not have been as good as Jack Black. Yeah.
Okay, let's do the Twitter one first. So excuse me if there's a bit of a pause, because some people can't just keep replying to the current thread and go back to the old thread. Thanks, Punch the Timeline, but we love you. All right, so for Guardian, which was the last one that Twitter cast, everyone just kept avoiding it. And I thought that would be the first one everyone would cast, because you just need a big dude, right? So they went with a big dude, Jared Kiso from Letterkenny as Guardian.
Ah, all right.
And I don't mind that casting. And now let me find the current thread, which I summarized on somewhere. And... should have done this while you guys were talking. So as we're not editing this episode, bear with.
Just while you're looking there, and to help you fill, mm-hmm. as you say, you know, it needs to be a big guy. And I looked at it from original version. Again, I went back to the John Byrne version. And this was before everybody in the comics was a tank, you know, and he's just a, you know, not an overly muscled guy at that point.
But he's still a super heroic build.
Well, he's a little muscular, but he's still reasonably slim. You know, he's not.
But he's also in a suit too, so.
Yeah, and he's got the suit that kind of augments the muscles and all that sort of thing. And so I went with a little bit, you know, Stephen Amell is kind of a tank, but he's still human-sized. Weird way to put it, but yeah, that's kind of where I went with it. So everybody's enormous in the comics now.
More Cyclops than Superman, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, right. So, Jared Kiso as Guardian. Because I started this whole thread by giving my Puck casting, which I dropped on the last episode, which was John Silver from AEW, pro wrestler. But, you know, pro wrestlers have proven themselves lately. I think he's the right build. He's got the right energy. I'm sticking with him as my Puck. So the rest of these are now from our followers. And I forgot to write down who did what, so I'm sorry. But most of them are Punch the Timeline. Four nerds by nerds threw some in and other people. So apologies. I'm just going to read the list. So, because I started with John Silver, everyone then thought, we'll just cast wrestlers as Alpha Flight. So I did at some point put a moratorium on that and said, no more wrestlers. But they had Trish Stratus as Snowbird, which I didn't mind, although I think she's too short. Now, they also put Kristen Kruk as Aurora, so that matches up with Justin. They put, I'll probably say his name wrong, from Vampire Diaries, Ian Somerhalder. Maybe Somerhalder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, as North Star. They put Jessica Chastain as Vindicator and Zahn McLaren, if I've said that right, as Shaman. Now, Sasquatch, Jason Segel is who they chose. I don't know if it's because he's tall, but it doesn't matter on a CGI person. But people were very adamant, and I'm pretty sure this was Four Nerds by Nerds, so shout out. They were very adamant they were serious. Jason Segel as Sasquatch. And if I'm not wrong, because... again, this went over many threads. They thought if you were going to, how do I say it, Abe Sapien him and have one dude as the Darth Vader him. One dude is the body and one dude is the voice. Maybe Ron Perlman is the voice. So that's our Twitter follower casting. Now, my casting, if I may, I had Stephen Amell as Guardian.
All right.
But you've chosen that, so I'm going to go with my understudy because I haven't got an understudy for all of them, just this one. This dude needs redemption. He is totally worth redemption because if you watch anything else he's in, he's actually really good. And I hope now that George Lucas is not around, that in the Obi-Wan series, he gets this redemption. But my second choice for Guardian was Hayden Christensen.
Okay.
So that goes to your normal man size thing that you were going on about.
I'll pay that.
And he's Canadian. Hey-o. There you go. Right.
Yes.
My shaman, I went with the same as Twitter, San McLennan, if I'm saying that right. Now, Snowbird, I actually had Catherine Winnick as well. So there you go. Same as Justin.
I like that. Yeah.
She is awesome in Vikings. Just, dude, if that doesn't sell you, nothing will. North Star and Aurora were my hardest. They were the ones I did last. I'm going to leave Sasquatch till last, but these two. Okay, so I'm going to agree with the Twitter, and I'm going with Ian Somerhalder. I don't know. Sorry for butchering names. I'm going for him from Vampire Diaries. I think looks-wise, it's pretty good. Now, then I went and cast Aurora, not realizing that they had dated in real life. So awkward, but your actors, get over it and do your job. My Aurora is Nina Dobrev from Vampire Diaries.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. One, she's Canadian. Two, sorry to sound sexist, she hot. And I just think, yeah, that's a good pairing. It was obviously a good pairing because they dated. Obviously not a good pairing because they broke up. I don't know. Whatever. Do your jobs. So Sasquatch is my last one. And I am going to go for the Abe Sapien style. One person does the body acting and one person does the voice. Now, for the body, for the motion capture, I guess, I'm going with one of the best in the business, my favorite anyway, Doug Jones, because that guy can do anything. And he was a Silver Surfer, the only good thing about that Fantastic Four movie. And as the voice, because he's a scientist, and because I'm going to see, now this is the thing. I'm going with Sasquatch as in he's going to be Sasquatch and not revert back to human.
All right.
Because I didn't cast that way. So Doug Jones acts the motion capture and Victor Garber does the voice. Canadian and very professorly. That's not a word. You know what I mean? Plus, it's pretty much what he was in Legends of Tomorrow, if anyone actually watched that.
That too.
So, yeah, that's my casting. I don't know if we can come to a consensus, except for possibly on Snowbird.
Yeah. Definitely on Snowbird.
Yeah.
Catherine Winnick, good call.
And Puck.
Okay. It's 2 out of 3, so yeah, I guess so. Oh, man. I'm going to put all three of our lists with pictures, and then I'll do the consensus list, because damn, Jack Black, man. Oh, okay. So I guess we go Stephen Amell for Guardian then, because two of us had that on there.
I actually support that. That would be a good one.
And I don't mind that. I don't know. He's seemed pretty loyal to the whole DC thing, but he was the leader of the Arrowverse.
But you're talking about Marvel money here, so.
Yeah, who doesn't want to be in a Marvel movie? All the Marvel haters shouldn't be listening anyway. Turn us off. Anyway, whatever.
Take a breath, Mike. No. Just breathe.
We don't bash because now.
Don't you want followers on the show?
That ship has sailed. Anyway, speaking of not wanting to be a DC basher or a Marvel favoritist, is that a word? I don't know. It is now. I watched the Snyder Cut. First of all, thanks to all our Twitter followers who jumped in on the fan casting of Alpha Flight. And thank you guys for taking time to do it. And I think we should do this again in the future.
Absolutely. Yeah. Come back next time when we cast Beta Flight.
Is that a thing?
It is.
All right. I'm going to look that up.
I really was really hoping you were going to ask me. Yeah. Go Google that.
That's my homework.
We interrupt this great podcast to talk about our little show, Sorry You're In My Seat.
It's a movie podcast and no one's doing movies.
I don't think anyone thought of the idea, let's talk about movies on a podcast, put it out there.
Well, we go where no one else dares.
We've done zombies.
Yeah.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Amy Adams.
Yeah.
Animation.
Oh.
Street Fighter.
Well, you can't win them all.
Subscribe now. Search for Sorry You're In My Seat wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice. All right, so Snyder Cut. I watched it. It was 4 hours long, 4 hours and 2 minutes. I know we all knew that.
Please tell me that's the entirety of your review.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. Okay, I've got some things to say, but I'm not going to do a whole hour-long thing on it because, one, that won't do it justice. It's 4 hours. But if you want a really good review, I'm going to shout out again go and listen to the Watching Comics podcast at Watching Comics Pod on Twitter, Comics with an X. They did an excellent review of the Snyder Cut, and I highly recommend you go and listen to it. Okay, now, it is a much better version of the Justice League, 100%. It is still way too long. This movie would have been ideal at anywhere between 2.5 to 3 hours max. They changed a lot for the better, I'll give them that. The thing I think is that instead of saying to Zack Snyder, make your cut, as in make your theatrical cut of Justice League, they accidentally said to him, literally do whatever you want and put it all in. Because does he ever? Jeepers, he puts everything in. Now, it's very well known on internet circles, and especially the circles that follow us on Twitter, that IGN has clocked the slow-mo portion of the movie. 10% of the movie is in slow-mo.
10% of 4 hours?
Yeah, so about 24 minutes, I think. I'm not good at maths. So episode of Justice League Unlimited,
wow,
is in slow-mo. And it's not all Flash either. Because, of course, you expect slow-mo with Flash.
Yeah.
But it's not all Flash. So that's a thing. There's a lot of slow-mo. There's a lot of still very video gamey CG. It just, I guess it's, if you watch his movies, it's sort of the aesthetic he goes for. You know, he doesn't mind it looking CGI. You can see that in Sucker Punch. And you can see it in Batman vs. Superman, and you can see it in Justice League. He probably made other movies, I don't know. Oh, 300, damn, you can see it in that movie. So, yeah, there's still a lot of that. Now, I want to say one thing. Hashtag justice for Steppenwolf. Because, my gosh, man, justice was served. Because, damn, they just completely redesigned him. I don't know about his weird suit of armor that has spikes that pop up whenever they want to. It's very sort of 90s Image Comics or Jim Lee. And I feel like Jim Lee may have had a design hand in this. It seems like a very Jim Lee design. But he, one, comes across as physically imposing. And he has a lot more to do in this movie. And he looks like he actually fits and integrates in the movie, which was my whole problem with how they pulled him off in the first movie. Now, you said to me on the last episode, Brian, that because we figured it wouldn't start with that that awful CGI erasure of the moustache on Henry Cavill, that I could think of it as a different movie. I immediately just went into this thinking it was a different movie anyway. And it was good because it kept me thinking that way until you see obvious scenes that are exactly the same. But as soon as I saw Steppenwolf, I was just happy. Whether I liked the movie or not, that made me happy.
I was going to ask you what you thought the biggest reversal, what the biggest turnaround was for you then between the two versions.
Well, the runtime.
The thing that you didn't like, what was the thing that improved the most?
Probably that.
Okay.
Well, the whole narrative structure of the movie, but if we're going for cosmetic things, Steppenwolf, because, man, he just looks like a proper bad guy. He looks like he fits into the movie, and he's way more physical, and I like him. He's got some moments where he's a bit of a lot of the movie he's portrayed as the big bad, because he technically is, for the story they're telling, at least the first half. But there are points when he is a bit, not wimpy, but, because he obviously did something to Darkseid and pissed him off.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's sort of been banished from Apocalypse and he wants to come back, is my understanding or how I read it. And his feeling is if he can get these mother boxes and form the Unity, then that will be enough to get his forgiveness from Darkseid and be allowed back to Apocalypse. Because he's been told he has to go and conquer something stupid like 50,000 planets or some bullshit. I don't know. And so I guess he thinks this is a faster way to get on the good side again. The good side of Darkseid. Anyway, so there are moments because he collects these mother boxes and this is completely different. Desaad is in it. And he wasn't in the original at all. Spoilers. Whatever. Man. Right, so he takes these mother boxes when he gets one and he puts them into the slab of whatever. And it usually, it's like you put that in and it's your prepaid calling card because then Desaad pops up and for a chat. And Desaad, is pretty cool. It's sort of like a projection of Desaad through this block of whatever morphs looks like it's melting and it morphs into a version of Desaad and at one point Darkseid. So it's like how they're communicating. And you do see Desaad later, and you definitely see Darkseid later. Yeah, it's interesting. They've developed it way more. They've developed the mythos of the Mother Box and the story. You know how I told you last time with the Joss Whedon one, there was that whole big Lord of the Rings scene?
Yep.
They kept that for the most part, but they made some changes to make it better. So they didn't keep going on about, and the box that went to the tribes of man, bollocks. So it didn't do all that stuff. It still said, you know, one box went here, one box here, one box here, whatever.
Okay.
But it explained more. It showed a Green Lantern properly, and it is an actual Green Lantern whose name escapes me, but you can Google it. And he has a bit more time. And it's really cool because spoilers, heavy spoilers, Darkseid kills that guy. And when his hand gets chopped off, the ring comes off his finger. And, of course, me, being a, well, former Green Lantern fan, thanks Ryan Reynolds, geeked out. Because the ring went up and it stopped by Darkseid before flying away. And I was like, ooh, because Darkseid has no fear yet. He hasn't met Superman yet. So I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool. And it was basically Darkseid invading Earth, not Steppenwolf, which is what it was in the original cut.
Right. Okay.
So it was Darkseid who got driven back and forced to retreat. Because later on you find out, or Steppenwolf finds out, that Earth is where the anti-life equation has been hiding. And Darkseid's like, what? Doesn't remember he was there at any point. The one planet that he was forced to retreat from is like, oh, yeah. So has to figure out his way to get there. So that would have been a sequel, I guess. Right, anyway, let's go to my notes before I start really rambling. So, yeah, Darkseid was awesome. He looked cool, and he looked incredibly imposing. And I loved it. I really liked it. And Ray Porter, who did the voice, did a bang-up job. I really liked Darkseid. Cyborg and Flash got way more time in this movie. I still find Cyborg incredibly boring. The CGI on him was average. I don't know if it's that I just don't like Ray Fisher, but yeah, I don't know. Other people, other podcasts I've listened to all seem to really like the Cyborg story in this, but I was still sitting there going, move on, next. The only good thing I liked about it was you got a lot more of Miles Dyson, the killer robot inventor from all of his movies. So Joe Morden got a lot more screen time. They developed the relationship between Cyborg and his dad a lot more. They explored it a lot more, maybe is a better way to say it. But I still just found Cyborg boring. I don't know. But Flash got a lot more scenes. One scene that they didn't need, it was a cool scene. Don't get me wrong. It was a very cool scene. It just didn't need to be in the movie. They could have saved it for the Flash movie. It was unnecessary and didn't add anything. Because what it is Barry, or in my opinion, Wally, going to apply for a job. And as he's talking to the lady, the boss at the pet store, he's checking out a girl who is obviously going to be Iris. And he's checking her out. She's checking him out through the window of the store. She gets in her car to take off. And he sees that a truck is careening towards her car and there's going to be an imminent car crash. So, Flash scene. Now, the first problem I had was he super sped his way through a window. The door was right there. But my problem is he smashed through the window. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe it's because he's so new and he doesn't know his powers. Shouldn't he be able to just vibrate through
the... Yeah.
No need for all that property damage. But I'll give it a pass because he's new to his powers, maybe.
This is also a Snyder film.
It's always, yeah, you need the bombastic stuff. Yep. No subtlety, all action. It's like Michael Bay. Anyway, it's a pretty cool scene. It's very slow motion of him saving Iris with a really badly chosen song choice that completely sets the wrong tone, in my opinion. But a cool scene. Just doesn't need to be in the movie. Take that out. You've saved about 10 minutes right there. But yes, keep the scene for the Flash movie where it would fit because you're actually going to explore Iris, which you totally don't go back to in this movie. So anyway, I really like Ezra Miller as the Flash. I didn't at first, as I said last time. And I do like that he is the quippy character on the team. And I do like the fun he brings to a very serious team. But that's not Barry Allen. But that aside, I like him and I like what he does in the movie. And I'm glad he got more screen time. Right. Russia was still in it. But it made sense this time because Steppenwolf was using a nuclear reactor, let's just say Chernobyl, to amplify the power of the mother boxes. Probably don't need to because they're mother boxes, but at least they sort of gave a reason for being in Russia. they completely eliminated the Russian family that made no sense in the first movie, and so that was all gone. They changed a lot of things like the color of the sky and things in the final battle scene, made it look a lot better. There are a lot of things in there that I thought were Joss Whedon that apparently weren't because they were still in the Snyder Cut. One being, I told you, my favorite scene where Flash is running at full speed and Superman looks at him in real time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a Whedon thing, but no, it was a Zack Snyder thing. So I'm really super glad that got kept and it was even extended, I believe.
Was it a thing that he'd said that he was going to take all of the Whedon out though?
Yeah, he said he's not going to use any.
He didn't use any of it. Okay.
No, he specifically said, I'm not using anything from anyone else.
All right.
It's all Snyder. It was an extended scene. I love, and I got it a bit wrong last time, but yeah, when Wonder Woman basically stares down Superman, she's the last one standing. Hopefully I didn't get it wrong this time. When she lassos Superman and Superman just catches it and wraps it around his arm, that's badass, man. Although we should have started spewing some truths. But anyway, they kept in the cool scene where Wonder Woman and Superman get into a headbutting contest, and I don't know. She's a demigod. Technically, she could be as strong as Superman, right? I don't have a problem with that. I like that.
Mm, yeah.
But I like the fact that after a couple of headbutts and no one going down, Superman, and it's in the Whedon cut, Superman lifts her up and then headbutts her straight down into the ground. And I was like, that is so violent. And so awesome, and I love it because, you know, she's not hurt or anything. Then there were a few quippy bits that I actually really liked in the Whedon cut that were taken out, and probably maybe for the better for one of them. So when Superman took Batman into the sky in the Whedon cut and then dropped him, then you hear Batman say, oh, something's definitely bleeding, that's gone. And whatever, I found it funny, but yeah, it's good that it's gone. And then the scene in the Whedon cut, Aquaman, he starts to spill some truths because it turns out his foot is wrapped in the lasso. It's sort of like that scene in the first animated Wonder Woman movie where Trevor puts his foot on the lasso and starts telling his stuff. They took that out. And I guess people don't mind that being taken out, but I found that quite amusing when I watched it. So I was a little bit sad. Aquaman is way more serious in this movie for the most part. That scene in the tavern that I was talking about where clearly it's the big brown guy. It's a better scene. And the problem I had was when it looked like Bruce was scared when he was thrown up against the wall by Aquaman.
Yeah.
That's sort of gone.
Okay.
And it's cut a different way. The scene is better, but then it all unravels when Aquaman denies Bruce and denies joining the team. He dives into the water. He takes his top off because he is wont to do. He jumps in the water, swims away, and the village ladies, one picks it up to sniff.
I saw this.
Yeah, that was weird. But then even weirder, they all decide to start singing. So that was bizarre. So they sing him away, and that's never explained. So maybe they worship him as a god or something, but I don't know. It was just dumb. Anyway, overall, definitely a better movie. Now I'm just going to quickly jump to the Jared Leto stuff, and then we can move on. Ah, man, this movie did nothing to make me like Jared Leto as the Joker. Right, so the nightmare scene is awkwardly placed in this movie. They don't have any end credit scenes in this because this movie is broken into chapters with chapter title cards. And hang on, I'm going to skip back a bit. Wonder Woman totally beheads Steppenwolf in this movie after Superman punches the crap out of him and then while holding him down, burns one of his horns off with his laser vision, his heat ray, sorry. And it's pretty violent. And then as I think Superman chucks, there's a portal open with Darkseid and Granny Goodness and Desaad standing there. And as they chuck Steppenwolf back through, Wonder Woman jumps over and slices his head off with her sword. His head goes tumbling into Apocalypse and Darkseid stands on it and crushes it under his boot.
Fatality.
And I was like, dude. <It's all right. laughs> and Superman's in his black suit, which, yes, it's good because that's what happened in the comics. When he came back from the dead, he was in his black suit, although now with a cape. I liked the idea that in the Whedon cut, once he snapped out of, snapped back to life maybe is the way, you know, when he first gets brought back from the dead, he doesn't know who he is. So he comes across as a bad guy. He's not, but his brain isn't functioning properly, I guess. When he finally snaps back and he joins the fight at the end of the Whedon cut, he's in his bright Superman colors. And I like that because it showed that he's, you know, this hopeful Superman again.
Yeah.
And this one, it shows that suit. And I was like, yeah. And then no, he comes in the black suit. But that's fine because comic accurate and I do like the suit. But I just thought it's a more visual representation of him becoming the pillar of hope Batman always talks about.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with anyone who loved him being in the black suit. I like it. It looks cool. But for me, I liked the idea, the visual representation of him coming back in a hopeful way, I guess. And I like the fact that this whole movie, Bruce Wayne, when he was introduced in Batman vs. Superman, he was like, you know, he's end of his career Batman. He's seen it all. He's done it all. He's over it all. And he's just beating people up and going to the extreme because he just doesn't give an F anymore, right? And it's really cool to see that Superman is the thing that made him sort of snap out of this, don't want to say depression, but you know what I mean, this mindset. And Bruce Wayne completely sees him as this thing that people looked up to and an excellence to be strived toward. And it's really good because he totally has this arc, right, from Batman vs. Superman to the end of Justice League. And I forgot where I was going with that. Done. And I'm not editing this, so I blew that. Oh, jeevers. But yeah, it's cool because that drives Bruce sort of to have him back, you know what I mean? And and it's what drives him to form this league. One thing I will say, because I've lost my train of thought on that, so sorry. Go and listen to Watching Comics podcast. They talk about it really well, and it was something I'd thought about and totally agreed with, and they articulate it better than me. One thing I will say about this movie is the first cut is 2 hours. This movie takes 2 hours just to get the league together.
Wow.
Mm.
Nat, my wife, sat and watched it. We watched it over a few nights, and she watched it from start to finish. So props to her, because she is not a big superhero movie fan or person who watches a lot of them. So well done for this being your entry point. But yeah, it's like in the first movie, Superman comes in at the halfway point. It's when they bring him back to life. In this one, they also bring him back at the halfway point, but that is 2 hours into the movie.
Wow.
So she's sitting there waiting for Henry Cavill. Night one, nope, didn't get there yet. Night two, we start, and I was like, no, if they're following the Whedon cut, he has to recruit everyone before and have to have a fight with Steppenwolf before you get to see Superman. She's like, what? So night two, no Cavill. She got Cavill on night three. Yeah, so it's, do you need 2 hours to get the league together, man? Seriously, it's half your movie just to form a team.
Well, Marvel took several movies to do it, but
The thing, and that
I couldn't help it.
They built up so we didn't have to do that, right?
Yes.
The DC movies didn't do that. Well, they built up Superman and Batman, the most popular characters they have. They introduced Wonder Woman, which is fine because she's not as mainstream. She is now, but she wasn't at the time. Flash, I guess you can get away with because most people watch that TV show. Cyborg, no way people know him mainstream. Not that I would have wanted a Cyborg movie because, again, least favorite character in the movie. But it's just like the problem with it is you take all this time to form the league. Once Superman comes, you don't need the league. He's Superman.
Just let him loose.
And he basically takes care of everything from then on. It's bizarre. There is the cool cameo, and I'm going to spoil it. So, Justin, if you want to not listen, I don't know. And listeners, I'm spoiling anyway. Martian Manhunter's in it.
Oh, yeah, I already knew about that.
Okay. It's pretty cool because he is a character who's been in all of the trilogy. He was in Man of Steel. He was in Batman vs. Superman. And now it's revealed that that guy is Martian Manhunter. So General Swanwick, I believe his name was.
Yeah.
That was Martha Kent who was the whole time.
Yeah, in this movie, there is that scene, yes, where he's pushing Lois in the direction of wherever she needs to go, which is apparently nowhere because they wasted her. Anyway, back to the nightmare scene. Man, it's just so bad because it should be an end credit scene, but it's not. It's tacked on. They have the epilogue title card come up. You have the Luther scene with the yacht and him not being in Arkham anymore, which we talked about on the last one. Deathstroke comes up to the yacht. Now, instead of Luther saying, they've got a league, we should form a league of our own, he instead goes, I've got some information you might find interesting. I know who Batman is. His name is Bruce Wayne. So obviously setting up the Batman movie we're never getting with Ben Affleck, with Deathstroke as the villain. And that would have been really cool. Then it goes straight to the nightmare scene without any credits in the middle. And it's set in a post-apocalyptic future. And Deathstroke is on Batman's team. So I'm like, well, didn't need that movie then. The movie that didn't happen because clearly Deathstroke didn't win and now they're friends. So whatever. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about the whole nightmare scene except to say, also, why does Mira have a British accent now? Anyway, doesn't matter. The Joker is terrible. They clearly didn't shoot together. And It's just a horrible interpretation of the character. It is weird because I don't know if it's supposed to be in the same universe because he doesn't have his tattoos anymore from Suicide Squad.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, a lot of people didn't like his laugh. I didn't mind his laugh because I figure he is... I figure he's been wandering through this desert for a long time. He's tired. He's at the end of it. But he's the Joker, so he keeps pushing people's buttons. But he's just over it all as well. And if he's been tagging along with Batman and the crew, he's probably been getting treated pretty poorly overall. So I don't mind that it's sort of this tired, wheezy laugh. I don't mind that. What I did mind is when he says to Batman, "You won't kill me, Bruce. I'm your best friend. That's fine." But then he said, "Besides, who'll give you a reach around?" What the f***?
Wow.
Oh, I was like, you're done. That's it. Someone should have made Zack Snyder cut something from that movie, and that should have been it, amongst other trimming to get the runtime down. Anyway, that's enough. Snyder Cut's done. I watched it. It was a thing. I would like to watch it in a full run from start to finish at some point. And they have announced a 4K release. And when one day I do own a 4K TV, I think I'd still like it because I didn't hate it. So, yeah, that's it.
Sounds like a fair review.
I can't articulate well, but it is what it is.
So how put a number on it. How much better is it?
A lot.
For you. That's not a number. Okay. Mike, numbers are things that you count with.
Okay. I don't know. I think if I gave The Wedding Cut a 2 out of 5.
Okay.
Generously.
All right.
The Snyder Cut, maybe 3.5.
All right. It's a gain.
I don't know if I'm going to give it a 4. Maybe a high 3.5. It's still a jump. It's almost double as good. Well, okay. It's double as long. What? So, anyway, there we go.
It's close enough. All right.
I'm not very good at doing
this. It was worth the 4 hours of watching, though.
At least 2 of the hours were.
Okay.
You could have just made it Superman 2 and just done the second half and not killed him in Batman versus Superman.
Mm. Yeah, there was that too.
Anyway, that's enough. I'm not very good at articulating these Justice League movies, as witnessed on the last episode, and now again now. So let's, because we've gone long, bumper size edition, let's quickly just go over Invincible, if you guys want to.
Completely.
Did you both watch all 3 episodes of Invincible?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I couldn't stop watching it.
Nice. Right. So, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you actually like it?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Nice.
I did. Yeah. See, sometimes this is why I don't tell you stuff before we do this.
Okay. No, I'm genuinely happy that you liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I would watch more of it.
Cool.
Yeah, I get the bits where you thought perhaps I wouldn't like it. No, but I did. I quite enjoyed it. There were some cliched bits, you know, the whole teenage superhero type thing.
But that's what the comic was.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and it's kind of, it's been done before. It'll be done again. But yeah, it was good. I quite enjoyed it. I would go back and watch more of it.
Can I ask? The bit you didn't like, is it the overly graphic violence?
No, not even that. I thought the scene, I guess I have to call spoilers for people who haven't seen it, where it's Omni-Man versus the Guardians of the Globe.
Yes.
Excuse me, that's some pretty edgy stuff. Some of it's a little graphic at that point, but I thought it was well done and it was on point. And if you're gonna take down that kind of super team, then you need to show you can't soft sell it. And so I thought it was really quite well done.
It was very well animated.
Yeah, yeah, very much
and
so.
And choreographed.
Yeah, man. It was pretty brutal.
Something I really appreciate, especially leading up to that, because I had to go back to look at the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point, there is no real bloodiness, goreness in the book. And so they followed that, like, they'd show some, like, bloody noses or, you know, just a little bit of little blood splatter here and there, but, like, nothing bad until actually that fight. And so it was just kind of cool to see that they were almost kind of following that whole thing, like, this is fine up until, oh, no, this is a problem.
Yeah, now it's got serious. That's really cool. Yeah. That's good to know. I don't remember the specifics of the comic.
And I think that emphasizes it in the show even, because there is some violence in the show before that, but obviously nothing to that.
Right.
And so it really accentuates the seriousness of what's happening,
yeah.
Maybe,
yeah.
While going completely overboard in the most beautiful way. It's, oh, man. Yeah. I really appreciate that they're treating it like a normal TV show. They're giving it a hefty runtime. It's not a normal 20-minute cartoon. They will clock in at least 40 minutes or more. The voice acting, I love. J.K. Simmons.
Yes.
As Omni-Man. I started reading the comic again this week, and that's all I could hear now.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a really impressive voice cast, too, even the ones who don't make it out of the first episode. I'm thinking, wow, that's Yep. Really nicely done.
Mahershala Ali is in this.
Yeah.
I love Zachary Quinto as robot. Like,
yes,
yeah, it fits so well.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's very good. They introduced a new character because Amber's not in the comics from what I, well, certainly not that early on if she does become part of the comics. That whole sticking up for her scene at the school is not what happened.
Correct,
in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he stands up to someone who's getting bullied, a boy, and the bully comes up, but Mark already has his powers and pushes him pretty much through the locker. The first issue of Invincible is way more compact than what they did in the show.
Mm.
I like the callback to the bag of garbage.
Yes.
That he throws in the first episode, and then it comes back again. It sort of swings around. I really enjoy
it. I'm pretty sure that happens in the book, too. I don't think it's the exact same storyline, but yeah, I think it comes back around.
Yeah.
Even the scene where he throws the garbage bag happens way faster in the comic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Like, there's not the whole sitting around depressed because I haven't got my powers yet. Mm. It just happens pretty much immediately in the comic. Mm. But they didn't do it badly in the show. I like how they did it.
I actually really appreciate how they did that because they took their time with him struggling to get outside with these giant trash bags. And he struggles to get the garbage bin open. Like, he pushes it, falls back, pushes again, struggles with the first bag, and then like all of a sudden something inside just snaps,
right,
and he just chucks that one into space.
Yep. Yeah, they did a very good job. The first fight he does when he hasn't got his costume yet against the guys doing the heist is much shorter in the comics,
right,
but I loved how they did it in the TV show. Okay. They expanded it a lot, and it's a great, well-choreographed and well-animated fight scene. The animation in episode 2, when the Flexen army invades multiple times, is marvelous.
Yes.
So, so good. Yeah.
I was really impressed with Duplicate, like how she had to like duplicate herself at right before like the other one dies, basically. It was incredible.
Yep. And can I just say, spot on piece of voice casting is Jason Matsoukas as Rick Splode.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, especially in episode 3. Oh, man. Episode 3 is my favorite. The tryouts to be the new Guardians of the Globe.
Mm.
The introduction of Monster Girl.
Yes. Monster Girl's always one of my favorite.
Really enjoyed that. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Ah, the pounding she gives Rick Splode.
Yeah.
Oh. And then how they just sort of shake hands at the end and like, all right.
Yeah, we're done here. Yeah.
That's so bad. It's amazing.
I liked Adam Eve. I mean, it's some very cool characters in there. There's cool stuff happening in there. I don't know about this is going to sound really crusty. I don't know whether this is the same language in the comic. Some of that took me out of it a little bit. You know, sometimes I think they put swearing into dialogue just to make it edgy or whatever it is. And I didn't think it was really necessary. I don't think it added anything.
I don't think it's that edgy in the book. I don't remember off the top of my head, but
yeah.
Violence-wise, it definitely gets well known for that, especially as it goes on.
And that's what I thought, yeah. One thing I did really enjoy, and it was kind of in comparison to something else I'd watched, I watched just briefly, it was the first episode of a show on Netflix called The Irregulars.
Oh, yeah, I mean to watch that.
Yeah, and No, that was dull. I stuck it out right to the end. I thought the dialogue was awful and the acting was kind of average, and it was just, I don't think it was anything original in it, and it was just kind of weak to me. And the thing that really bugged me about it as well, it has this really intrusive soundtrack. So it's set, when, you know, Sherlock Holmes times, if you like.
Right.
And then you still got sort of modern day type soundtrack, and you know that happens a lot. But it was, the whole thing was just really intrusive. But with, I noticed in comparison to Invincible, I thought the soundtrack was completely on point. I really enjoyed that.
Mm.
I thought it was really, really nicely matched. And that was terrific, yeah.
What did you think of the way they randomly insert the title card at different parts when he's about to say the word Invincible in every episode?
Yeah, I enjoyed it the first couple of times, and by the third one I just thought it was getting old.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't remember by the third one. Is it getting bloodier?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah,
but it's sort of almost, I mean, it's a fun idea to do once, but then it just becomes jarring.
Pretty much, it just becomes a thing, and just call it. I thought, what are they never going to get him to say his name? And then he does in that.
But they continue that on.
Yeah, and they still keep going with it. So. Mm.
But I like that they had the callback to the solar suit, which is directly lifted from Corey Walker's first issue that he drew. And I think he works as the lead character designer on this, which is cool because
he saw him in the credits. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was out after the first arc when Ryan Otley took over for the rest of it, who's also a consultant on the show. But yeah, I know. I love the show.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wish it was more than 8. I don't know. You know, with WandaVision, how they dropped two episodes straight away. Right. And you can see why with that show.
Yep. Right.
This show, the way they ended episode one, you could have left it and made people wait a week.
Oh, yeah.
Because fully had people a hook. Would have been... Yep. The internet would have lit up.
Yeah.
Anyway, after one episode.
I didn't realize it was they had dropped three, and I watched the first one, I think at 1 o'clock in the morning.
You were like, damn it.
And I was like, oh, that was good. Why is it still playing? No, stop playing.
So overall, big thumbs up from everyone.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you enjoyed that. Yeah. Liked it.
I'm glad you're going to – I figured if you'd watch three, you didn't hate it too much, Brian.
No. Yeah. Yeah. That was good.
We'll at least finish out season one, you think?
We will see what comes of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say no. I'm bad at articulating tonight. Mm. I really like the show.
I kind of appreciate also how he took Omni-Man's reaction to marketing his powers to basically saying, oh, I need to go back to my mission kind of thing. Mm. Like, it was just kind of a sudden wake-up call. You could just tell that his whole mentality just changed when that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say was, because I used to watch Game of Thrones, which was good till the end, I was never a reader of those books. I was just one of the plebs who watched the show. And I feel like now I know what the book readers felt like with Game of Thrones. You know, those guys who came on going, oh, we know what's going to happen next, or wait till you see mm-hmm. what's coming yep. and all this. And now I feel like that. Man, to know what's coming... based on the comics, man, there's some cool stuff coming.
It's going to be some rough, great stuff coming.
Yeah, but I'm glad to know what they felt like now, Game of Thrones book readers, because that's how I feel. But yeah, it's fantastic. Can't wait for episode four. I'm annoyed it's only going to be eight, because I just can't get enough at the moment. We'll see by eight episodes whether it's keeping up, but I'm pretty sure it will. Any other thoughts on Invincible?
No.
I think we're hooked. We're in.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for more, that's all.
Yep. I'm going back to read the comics now because I just need more Invincible to fill in my time between episodes. I'm totally in, and I hope we get a toy line out of this.
We are. It's coming.
We are?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
There's like a really good version like that's a limited amount, and then like they'll have just an average toy one that's Invincible and Omni-Man for sure.
Nice. I wouldn't mind an Invincible and Adam Eve at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, cool. All right, we're already fans of J.K. Simmons, and yes, he got a little bit more in the Snyder Cut as Commissioner Gordon, but man, I love him as Omni-Man so much. That's my favorite piece of casting probably in that show. Good. Okay, well, are we about done? Have we got anything else to talk about?
No, we're good. We covered a lot of ground. Ran through my list. I had a list this time. It was great.
Nice. We had some natural segues and some awkward segues. And
that's okay.
A lot of pauses and ums and stuff like that, but if you've made it this far, well done.
If you made it from the externals to here, then we salute you.
Dick. Right, anyway, this is our longest episode. It's our Snyder Cut, so thank you for bearing with us. We're going to take a little break now because last time Justin was on, we talked about how I've got some project coming up that I have to work on. Mm-hmm. Oh, hush, hush and whatnot, and now I actually have to work on it. So we're going to take a little break. Hoping we'll only miss where one episode would be, but if it has to be more, then apologies in advance. We'll still be totally active on Twitter, and after this, you probably need a break from us anyway, certainly from me. Anyway, thank you, Justin, for coming on again at this unsightly hour. Mm-hmm. It's what, probably 5:30 in the morning for you?
Yeah, it's about 5:37.
Dude, I'm so
sorry. It's cool. I'm having fun.
If you want to be a guest on our show, we do not buckle to your time zones. Just FYI to people listening wanting to come on. Nobody puts their hands up. Hey,
every new year starts in New Zealand. Just saying.
That's right.
You got a point.
So with that, once again, if you want to check out Invincible, you can do so for free by clicking the affiliate link in our episode description and signing up for a 30-day free trial of Amazon Prime. It's free. You can cancel any time before the 30 days. But during that 30 days, you'll get to enjoy not only Invincible, but such comic book based shows as the awesome version of The Tick and of course the mega popular The Boys. So if you want to check out some cool comic book stuff, click the link in our description and get your free 30-day trial of Amazon Prime. If you want comics, tees, toys and collectibles from your favorite pop culture properties, be sure to visit our affiliate link in the episode description. I've done one nice little storefront And any of the products there you want to click on will take you through to our affiliate people, and you can buy those things for no extra cost, but we'll get a little kickback, and it'll help support the show. So the link is in the description, along with the link for Amazon Prime. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at TRG Podcast, and most actively on Twitter at The Rambling Geek. If you have had enough of me, which I don't blame you after this episode, you can follow Brian on Twitter at OldFanYells. In the meantime, if you want to fill the geek void we're leaving now, be sure to check out these awesome podcasts and follow them on Twitter. Go and follow Punch the Timeline at Timeline Punch, Comic Book Keepers at CBKCast, and the Watching Comics Podcast at Watch Comics Pod, and that's comics with an X. These guys talk about really good geek stuff, probably a bit more succinctly than I do. Definitely worth checking out. Go and support some other indie podcasts, and then that should do you over until you come back to listen to us again. They're all available anywhere you get your podcasts. They get my stamp of approval. Go and listen to them. Fill in the gap, and we'll be back as soon as possible with episode 11. So until then, again, thanks, Justin, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And with that, I've been Mike. He's been Brian. We've all been geeks. And that's the best thing to be. Keep on rambling, geeks. We are out.
That's the end. Thanks for listening.
Spoilers, 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 spoilers. Spoilers.